Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that so much. Good to see Allison here. Glad you're with us. Always good to have you in the service. Good to have Brother Johnson back. Said, how'd you like Alaska? He said, cool, baby, cool. No, no, he really didn't say that, but he said he enjoyed it. But anyway, we're glad he's back. Glad they had a good trip. I resent people who go to Alaska and from Texas in July, you know. But at any rate, take your Bibles and let's look at Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And I want to preach on the conversion of the shady lady of Jericho. The conversion of the shady lady of Jericho. Joshua chapter 2. And we'll go over to about verse 15 and just pick up a little bit of the narrative here that God gives us in His Word about this situation that God certainly wanted us to know about as He put it in His Word. Joshua chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Then she let them down by cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And this is talking about Rahab the harlot, the prostitute. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread, and underscore that in your mind, or maybe mark it in your Bible, the line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath, we'll call off the oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, when we think of the scarlet line, we think of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a scarlet thread of blood that runs from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. And so it is the blood of Jesus Christ that it's depicting. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ and only the blood of Jesus Christ that will wash away your sins. Nothing else will do it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And we go back and look at the background here. There was two spies sent over to Jericho. And as they went over to Jericho, they were to spy out the land and come back and give a report to Joshua about going over, what the conditions were over in Jericho. And so when they were there, they wound up going to this harlot's place, probably a hotel, maybe one of the only ones there that was convenient to go to. And when they went there, they, and by the way, Jericho was, it was so important for them to get through Jericho. Jericho was like a walled city so that they couldn't cross and get over there where they wanted to go. And it would be running up against military might and power and the way the city was built. And the walls were so wide that they could run 2 chariots abreast on the top of the wall. They had soldiers up there that were walking around very often. How are they going to get over there? How are they going to get on the inside? What's going to happen? How are they going to do it? So they went over there to search out what was going to go on. Now, when these two spies went in the land, they wound up finding out that the king knew they were there. And so they went to, as they were there at the harlot's place, she hid them, and they went up on the top of the roof. And she covered them up with flax. And they were there to be protected and hidden. Then the king's soldiers came and asked where they were. And she said, I don't really know where they are. And she said that I think whenever sundown was going down, they left the city. And if you'll take off right now, maybe you can catch up with them. She was being a little shrewd. Now, remember, she hadn't gotten saved right at that point. But that doesn't justify what she said. But at any rate, that was her position at that time. And so finally she went up to where they were on top of the roof and told them what had happened. And she said, hey, we've heard about you. We've heard you're going to conquer the land. We've heard what happened to some of those tribes. You've already beaten them, and you've already taken their property in their land, and we know we're in for judgment. And she said, I want to be spared. We know your God is the real God, the powerful God. And she came to her senses and said, I want to be spared. I do not want to be judged. And so that's why she was doing what she was doing. And then she let these men down by cord out her window, a scarlet cord, the scripture says. And then she made a bargain with them, a bargain of faith. And they told her, if you'll leave that cord, which represents the blood of Christ, if you'll leave that cord in the window, when we come through and when we judge this land, and when we judge all of the people there in Jericho, then you will be safe. Those who are your loved ones and friends who come in under that cord and they're in that house, they too will be safe, which she had asked for that. She had a missionary spirit that you and I need. And she had asked that all of her loved ones be saved. And he said if they'll come in the house, they'll be saved and they'll be spared. If they go out, it's not our fault. It's not our blood that's going to be on them. It's theirs. But those who are there, they will be spared from the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And that's exactly what she did. And she, you might say, got saved. She got born again the Old Testament way by faith. How do we know she's saved? A lot of different things. But we go to Hebrews, and chapter 11 is the chapter of those who are the heroes of faith, the men and women who are great men and women of faith. And when we go to verse 33 or 31 in that chapter, it says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She was justified by faith. And she went from a house of shame to the hall of fame in this chapter because she had trusted God and she had believed the message of his messengers to protect her. Somebody has said that when we think about transformation, that nature forms us and sin deforms us and prisons try then to reform us and education informs us, but only Christ can transform us. Only Jesus can do the job that is needed to be done. And she wound up marrying a prince of Israel, believe it or not. Not only that, she was included in the lineage of Jesus Christ, and she was David's great-great-grandmother. How's that for grace? And she was a prostitute and a harlot, but God forgave her because she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a few observations about this I want to mention very quickly. Number one, this message and this bargain, this deal they made with her, was divinely appointed. The spies had the authority to tell her that judgment was coming and that if she would get ready for that judgment, then she, if she believed that and would act on that belief, that she would be spared. But they had the authority of Joshua and the authority of God to go in there and say, hey, listen, judgment is coming. She had already heard a little bit about it. But judgment is going to come, and Jericho is going to fall. And when she believed that, she acted on that belief. May I say to you today that judgment for sin is going to come to this old world and to everybody that is a sinner, unless they're in Christ. Judgment is going to come, and I'm here today to warn you that judgment is going to come. It's real. It will be a judgment that will cast the unsaved people's soul into hell forever and forever without the Lord Jesus Christ. It is going to come. Ezekiel said in 18:20, the soul that sinneth shall die. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You see, folks, judgment is going to come. Not only the judgment for those that are unsaved, but for those of us that are saved, but I'm thinking in terms primarily of those that are unsaved. And the Word condemns all people who are sinners. The Word condemns people who are lost in their sins. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah said, we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We're sinners, and that sin has to be judged. And the Word condemns all men that are sinners. We have a certain time, a judgment that we're going to face, a divinely appointed time that God speaks of in the Word of God. The second observation I have as I look at these verses is that the thread was inconspicuously insignificant. Those who looked around said, probably when she told them, she said, hey, I'm not going to be judged because I've got that rope hanging out my window. And I could hear him say, how silly is that? You got a red, crimson rope hanging out your window and you think that's going to protect you from judgment? And she says, yes. Because the messengers of God have told me that I'll be protected if I have that rope hanging out the window. It seemed like it wasn't really something that would be good. And it seemed like that others would laugh at it and say, that's not necessary and that's silly anyway. And that's the way the modernists are today. The blood, they say. You say, the blood? You're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ? The blood? And the modernists say, that's silly. You don't need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. My friend, you do need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. The modernists today seek shelter through religious theory. They seek shelter through good deeds. They seek shelter through their own self-righteousness and this idea of God is love, the fatherhood of God, and the brotherhood of man. And since God is love, everybody's going to go to heaven. Just automatically you can count on that. No, that's not the way it is. There has to be the shedding of blood, and that rope had better be there, my dear friend. And if that rope isn't there, that blood of Jesus applied to your heart, you will regret it, and there will be the judgment. And then another observation is that the thread was like the blood. It was something that had already been tried previously because the spies trusted in it. The spies trusted in it. In verse 15, we know that they did. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. They trusted in the same cord. That's just a spin-off as an exemplary thing to remind us that the blood has been tried in the past. And I want to tell you, down through the years, and many, many years, it has been the blood of Christ that has brought us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ all of those years. That's what we preached. That's what got you saved. And that's why we're saved today. And I can tell you that nobody that has ever placed himself under the blood of Christ has been disappointed. Not one single solitary soul has been disappointed that put themselves under the blood of Christ. And I have some more good news for you. Jesus has never refused anybody that put themselves under the blood of Jesus Christ, even if they were as bad as this harlot. He never has. Christ has always been sufficient. Always been sufficient. Go back to the ark. He was sufficient in Noah's day and for Noah's family. That ark was a type of Christ. Go back to the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. It was sufficient to stay the judging hand of Almighty God. and go back to the mercy seat and the blood that was placed on the mercy seat. Not accidental, but designed by God to show that it is the blood that washes away our sins. It's the tried way. It's the proven way. It's the Old Testament way. It's the New Testament way. And it's the only way. The only way. And then the cord was abundantly sufficient. It was abundantly sufficient. Rahab said, I want all of my family to be saved. I want all of my family to be protected. And so whenever the walls tumbled down, and they did, they all were saved. Joshua 6:23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. You see, it was abundantly sufficient. It can save anybody you know, anybody in your family. So when the noise of judgment upon Jericho faded away, there stood Rahab and her family totally unharmed, totally protected by the grace of Almighty God. And friend, whenever we stand before Almighty God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we'll know how Rahab felt that day whenever she had that total liberation because of the faith that she had in the cord, the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time that's going to be. We'll know how Rahab felt. And then the scarlet thread was recognized by the proper authority. It had to be recognized by the right authority, or it wouldn't mean anything. The spies were only repeating what Joshua, the authority, had told them. Joshua, when they went back and told Joshua, he had to honor it. He was the main person that had to honor it. And so Joshua said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pass over her. I want you to pass over Rahab. Don't judge. And I agree with that. And God told the death angel to honor the blood throughout the Word of God, the tabernacle. God was what reconciled people to Himself in the tabernacle by the blood that was shed. The Day of Atonement, all of that was there. It was something God said, I will recognize. I will honor it. I will be pleased if people do what I say to do. And then the scarlet cord was an inclusive example. And I'm glad that it was an inclusive example, and inclusively it was also ample for everyone who would come. All in the house, and I've mentioned that already, were included. You see, that's what makes preaching a joy to preachers. Because we know that there's grace that we're preaching about. And we know that we can tell people this. I'm glad I've preached all around the world, and I've been able to say anywhere I was, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will can receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, the state in life does not affect the grace of God. Whether you're great or whether you're not great. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor. It doesn't matter to God. His grace is the same for everybody else. The state of sin doesn't alter the invitation. How deep you are in sin. How many sins you have sinned. Some people say, God can't save me. You don't know what I've done. Friend, I don't care what you've done, God can save you today and will save you if you'll come to Him. Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Snow's pretty white. I don't know of anything any whiter than snow. I used to live in Indiana and until I got my heart right and came down here. Now I'd like to go back up there in August, but at any rate, I can remember you'd come out after the snow and the sun would finally come out and, man, it would just blind you. So beautifully white. The white snow, the pristine snow. And He says, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be dirty and filthy and all of that, they'll be as white as snow. Aren't you glad today, if you're saved, that all of your sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb and they are as white as snow today? Thank God for that. Too great a sinner. That's a devil's lie. It doesn't matter who you are and what you've done. The maniac of Gadara was terrible. He was demon-possessed. He would he had body piercing and chains and all of that. All of that sort of smacks and goes back, if you please, to demonic activity and Satanism. I remember seeing a lot of that in the Philippines, all of those tattoos and body piercing and all of those things. Some of the meanest, worst areas of Manila and all of those places, that's where you saw it. And then it finally got over here to America, I regret to say. But I'm just saying that maniac of Gadara was a mean dude in the nude. And he was bad. And he had chains. And nobody wanted to go by the cemetery. But then it was Jesus. And Jesus immediately transformed him. And he was found fully clothed. He was a fundamental Baptist. Fully clothed and in his right mind. And that's the way it ought to be, amen? After somebody's converted, after somebody gets saved. Salvation. And thank God he'll save anybody. It's not the state of society. That doesn't alter the invitation. I don't care where you are. I don't care what country you're in. I don't care if they're totally Muslim or what. The gospel still has power. You preach the gospel anywhere in this world, and people are going to be saved because the gospel is powerful. It's going to get the job done. Then the scarlet thread was personally placed there by Rahab. In other words, it had to be a deliberate act of Rahab to put that cord there, to have it there and make sure it stayed there. Rahab placed it there personally, I believe. Those of Jericho, they could not help her out with her need. No, they were under the judgment. They couldn't help her out. Why call on them? They couldn't do anything for her. The Jews were coming, and they couldn't do it. But I'm telling you, she, on her act of faith, was positioned herself so that when the judgment came, she was going to be spared. And it was a deliberate act. Abraham sent his servant out. And the servant was sent out to search for a wife for Isaac, a bride. And he went out. But here's one thing that had to be done. Rebekah had to say, I will go. It is a personal, individual choice that you must make and say, I will go. The mother could not answer for Rebekah. That wouldn't do. She had to answer. The father couldn't make the decision. That wouldn't do. Rebekah had to answer. She said, I will go. And Rahab said, I will trust. It's a personal choice. And so we have the story of Rahab today. And it teaches us, very simply, the way of salvation. And I'll tell you today, and I've said it a million times, I'll say it a million times over, as long as I live, that salvation is through Jesus and only through Jesus and His shed blood. And friend, you better be under the blood. Don't brag about being a Baptist. Don't brag about being a Lutheran or a Catholic or being of some religious denomination or whatever, Church of Christ or anything else, or some religion. You better call on Christ through His shed blood. And thank God that blood will cover your sins. Rahab had enough sense to trust in the scarlet cord. Do you have enough wisdom to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't done it, I hope you'll do it today. And those of us who have, may God help us to appreciate the blood. And because of it, live like we love Christ and love God for giving His only Son. Let's stand, please, would you? Our heads are bowed. Rahab was transformed by faith in the message that protected her from judgment. And so can you be transformed. It comes through the blood of Jesus. And I invite you today to walk these aisles and come say, I trust Christ. I know He shed His blood on the cross and paid my sin debt. And dear Christian friend, as we look back at the cross, may we remember today it was the love of God that sought us out, paid the price, and gave Jesus to die for us. Some of the very best things we can do would be witness to that, tell others about Christ, and by God's grace, live right. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for this beautiful story, a true story in the Bible. Thank you that Rahab was saved by your grace, included in the lineage of Christ, placed into the hall of fame of faith, all because of her, your grace and her faith in thee. And I pray somebody be saved today. God help us to do what we ought to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come while we sing?